Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan.
Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back with Wisdom with Mama D. And as we work out some technical issues to bring her face to face, we're going to bring her up on the live line and give her an opportunity to speak to you. And, woo, here we are.
The illustrious. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings to everyone, and thank you for working through our glitches. You know our glitches. Whenever it's going to be a really juicy program, then we have these glitches. So that means stay tuned. I have this banner that I brought back from Ghana, and I'm just going to read something to you. It says, from Africa to the New World of the Americas, Portugal, Spain, Dutch, and English colonies supplied with free labor of captured. Now this has got too much noise there. Anyway, from Africa to
the world. Well, make sure you speak directly into your phone since that's the audio for it.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. And I'm going to pull up, as soon as you get the banner situated, I'm going to pull up the visual image of the banner if you wanted to point the camera toward that. All right. Let's see. And here's the banner. Wait a minute. Yeah, there we are. The banner from Ghana, which has some very powerful images there. And
the banner.
There we are.
Anyway.
Oh, perfect. Showing
the banner.
So now there's no buzzing.
Forget showing the banner. I'll just tell you about what I want you to, the banner to say, okay?
Great. And we can see you perfectly, so that works fine. So there's no buzzing,
okay.
So we'll use
so
your...
I just want to read what's on the banner.
Yes.
Because it relates to our topic.
Wonderful.
So I'll go until 12:30. It's almost half of introduction time. But anyway, from Africa to the New World of the Americas, Portugal, Spain, Dutch and English colonies supplied with free labor of captured, kidnapped, and enslaved human beings from the African continent and reclassified, I want you to hear that word, reclassified as African, Negro, colored, etc., which term they had never used to identify themselves previously. So I really want you to get that. African, Negro, color, etc., which terms they had never used to identify themselves previously. So why is that important? That is important because, this is very hard. I'm going to try to hold this.
Yeah, you might be able to prop it up, but yeah, the great image
right.
of you. Great.
Yeah, but what I want to say about this is because our topic today is identifying ourselves, reclaiming our glory, and demanding reparations. Now, reclaiming our glory. We're talking about parents of civilization. We're not just talking about boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
Parents of civilization. It is the parents that tell the children what to do and not the other way around. I don't know if any of you all saw The Lion King, but if you saw The Lion King, you really saw our truth. Simba was supposed to be the king, but he thought he was the hyena, and he was around eating grasshoppers and things. But once he discovered who he was and took his rightful place, everything on the planet Earth went into its rightful place. And that is what has to happen with us as a people. And I realize we've gotten accustomed to these names, Negro, Black, Colored, People of Color. I got a whole litany list here because we have to identify ourselves. If you've ever gone abroad and you have a passport, your passport does not say Negro, Colored, Afro-American, Afro, none of that. It says America. We claim in our continent when people living on the continent do not claim the continent. I really want you to get that. The people living on the continent, Ghana, Kenya, Liberia, South Africa, these are on the continent, but they don't call themselves after the continent. They do not claim the whole continent. We're the only people on the planet, as the most honorable Elijah Muhammad would say, the lost found, and one of the cruelest things that was ever done. You can find that out in the June 18, 2009, United States Senate apology for enslavement and unjust laws of segregation. I don't know what happened here.
Uh-oh.
I was back.
Yes.
Back for a second.
Yes.
And then gone again.
Yeah, you might have hit a button to turn your camera off. If you can figure out where on your phone that button is. But we can still hear you, though. Yeah, as soon as you find that button, it'll open your camera back.
Anyway, what the former president, Bill Clinton, and George Bush said, the vestiges of slavery and the 88 years of Jim Crow genocide still exist today. Okay.
Right.
See, it
oh, there you are. Okay.
A little bit of myself. Anyway.
All right, there we are. We're back.
We have denial. We don't in slavery. Yeah, that's over with. Or that's negative. You know, the Black History Bible book. And the reason I say it's a Black History Bible book because the hero in that Bible book is a woolly-haired man with bronze-colored feet to match his bronze-colored face. That is our history. We have in America pending now something called the Crown Act, and it is in existence so that Black women can get housing, employment, and other kind of services that other human beings have without being judged by the texture of their hair. It impacts housing, employment, and education. So they have to have this creating an environment so that we can wear our hair the way it grows out of our scalp, because we are the only people on the planet that have the hair like lamb's wool. All the the white people and Asian people and Latino people and Native American people, they all have straight hair. Goats and kids have straight hair. You can go to a goat farm because they still have goats, and you can get goat cheese and goat milk, and they still have lambs and sheep. You can get lamb chops, and you can get wool from the sheep. So these animals are not like dinosaurs. They still exist today. And because they still exist, I will repeat, kids and goats have straight hair. And all the other people that come from the original people, they have straight hair. We're the only ones with this texture of hair. And in 2022, we have to have a congressional law passed just so we can wear our hair the way it grows out of our scalp because of the discrimination against our hair. You can't wear it in braids unless you're Bo Derek, a white woman that decides to braid her hair. And that was a worldwide upset. But because of the texture of our hair, we have been braiding. And so, as I said, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said one of the worst things that they ever did to us as a people is to deny us the knowledge of self. And we cannot continue claiming a continent. We must claim the country that was built with the blood, the sweat, the tears, and the torture of our ancestors. And we have to revisit history. You got to go to the root. And when we go to the root of our historic experience, then we can go from there. So we've got these, our theme for today and our guests that we have lined up. It's Cam Howard, our last segment from 1:30 to 2 p.m. And then our Cecilia Johnson, I guess she's a naturalized citizen in America by now, but I think that she's from, I'm not sure if it's from Haiti or Jamaica, but she's been in America quite a while. And our first guest coming up is Kojo. Now, for those that were with us last month, there was a hearing, and we were trying to get these names straight. And he was on Zoom. And so he's agreed to be our first guest from 12:30 to 1 p.m. But getting back to our theme, identifying ourselves. Do you know that your name is your first sense of peoplehood and selfhood? You say, my name. That's you, different from anybody else on the planet. My name. If you're a child, you don't own your room. You don't own the clothes that are in your room because these are all things at the discretion of your parents. But your name is like ownership of your soul, ownership of your personage. And most of us have seen Roots, Kenta Kante, and how they tortured him into saying his name was not Kenta Kante, his name was Toby. And the reason they had to torture him into taking that name is because he comprehended the meaning of that name, that once they took that away, they were going to be taking away his personage. And he he was fighting it to the death. Until one of the older slaves said to him, we know your name. J. just say your name is Toby. We know you're kin to contain. It's just best for you to be alive. We know that you're about to be beaten to death if you don't accept this identity. And yes, it will be giving up your personage. And he just couldn't. As Reverend Dr. Prophet King said, don't let anybody take your manhood. Well, when it comes to black men, when it comes to black people, women, and children, they took our personage, and they admitted that. In that June 18, 2009, United States Senate and Congress apology for slavery and 88 years of Jim Crow segregation laws. So yes, they took your manhood on purpose, and on purpose you've got to take your manhood back. It is just time for us to take our rightful place as parents of civilization and not the boys and girls. All the history is there. The archaeological finds, the oldest bones that they ever found was an African woman on the continent of Africa. The DNA testing, you could only get all the different races from the darkest race. And that has always been the big threat. White people can mate with Asians and Latinos and blacks all day long. Nothing will ever get whiter. They will not change Asian people into white. They will not change Indian people into white. And don't even try changing black people into white. But we, because we are the parents of civilization, it's all going to be black like me. Because the black is where the brown comes from. And all the other colors, if black is the dominant color. And everybody else has to kill up everybody on the planet in order to have one race of people. If white people want one race, they got to kill up all the Asians and Latinos and blacks and everybody. If Asians wanted that, they'd have to kill up other people. Native Americans would have to kill up other people. Only the black race can make love and have one race of people. Mm. Just by making love. Everybody else has to make war to do it.
Mm.
And they have just make love and do it. You know, my two-year-olds, they had salt and I was teaching them how to make perfect circles in the fun way. You don't just sit them down and say, well, practice these, write 100 circles 100 times. Then I put a little salt in a little, one of those little throwaway glass sample containers. And I gave them a piece of a chalk. Chalk was different colors. So they took this white chalk. And if they added the red, the chalk, going around and around and around, it got to be deep red. Or if they took the yellow crayon around and around and around. And I remember one of my students said, my hand is getting tired, but my color is coming up. The more he colored, the darker the color became. He said, yeah, my hand is tired, but my color is coming up. But the point is, white never created anything, and everything wiped white out. So this is what Dr. Cress Wellsford is talking about when she's talking about annihilating all the other people and what it's about that we have to keep you under subjugation or we'll get wiped out. Well, the point of the matter is he should have thought about that on March 25th, when they had the internet, the 21st anniversary of the International Day of Remembrance for the victims of slavery and the transatlantic slave trade, and showing respect for those who suffered and died under the enslavement system. And they said that 90 or 95% of all the children born to the enslaved people were 12 and 13 years old.
Wow.
That was the average age. And 80% of those children born were born to slave owners.
Mm.
So because he could not keep his hands off the slave woman, he kept reproducing colored people.
Mm.
He kept reproducing our numbers. And he just couldn't resist. We got to get them fresh. As soon as that menstrual cycle starts,
that's what
at 12 or 13. So anyway, we are going to go into our break in a minute. But our theme is identifying ourselves. And the names that we have to select from are Africans in America, African-Americans, Afro-descendant, Moorish Americans, Aitos, American descendants of slaves, NAAs, Indigenous Native American Africans, Black American, people of color, American African, Afro-American, Asiatic, Negro, Black, and Liberians.
Mm.
So those are the names, but as I read on the banner, Negro, Black, colored, these names were never ours before enslavement, in particular Negro, which means black in Spanish. So the founding father of the transatlantic slave trade, those Spaniards, that's where we got that name from. So it is very important that we name ourselves. This country derived this power from the consent of the governed, and we never consented, and our ancestors never consented to be kidnapped and held as a movable property thing for 246 years to be handed down to the slave owner's children, guaranteeing generational wealth for them and locking us into generational poverty. So we didn't consent to that. And if you derive your power from the consent of the governed, and we didn't consent to it, then you can't tell us what to do. So we are actually sovereign people when we decide to name ourselves and claim who we say we are. And I think it's about time that we did that. And for you all who want to skip over your roots, no tree grows without roots. So we're going to take our break, and Kojo will be joining us when we come back.
All right. We'll be right back. Stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. That'll light your number up on switchboard, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. You're listening to and watching Wisdom with Mama D, and we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're Three Black Moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, hosts John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection. Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
You believe in freedom, cannot rest until it comes. We believe in freedom, cannot rest. Hear me talking to you. We believe in freedom, cannot rest.
All right, we are back, and we hear you loud and clear, and Kojo is with us. All he has to do is just step to his camera, and so he can be seen. Yes. So as soon as he comes back to his camera.
Am I breaking up?
No, you're also colored. Yes, we know. No, you're not breaking up and hear you. So far, your voice is fine.
Hey, I'm here.
Yes.
You're on mute.
I can you hear me?
No, we hear yeah, we hear you. Mama D's visual image.
It's breaking up.
She's breaking up. But we're gonna We have Kojo on the screen, and we have, well, Mama D, your image disappeared, and in a little while we can...
And I'm breaking up.
Yeah, we can hear your voice.
Oh, okay.
But you can go ahead and...
Kojo, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, Kojo.
Kojo, are you there?
I got one of my nieces here. Oh, look here. She's from Tennessee. Look at her.
Hello. How are you
all?
Hi there.
We're wonderful.
I got some beautiful nieces.
Y'all had to come see you.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Sorry for the invasion of your time.
Oh, well, hey, since you're in front of the screen, you might as well be a guest.
Her father and I served in Korea together.
Yes.
Hey, Mama.
So Kojo is introducing us to his niece, who her father and Kojo served together in the war. Yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
If you can hear me, then we can just go on.
Yes.
I'm
breaking up.
Yes.
So they got a weekly program.
Oh, okay.
So the solution, what's the name of the program?
This is the Female Solution, and we are.
Can you hear?
Live.
We're still there.
Yes, we hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yes, great.
I can hear everybody. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Mama D, we may have a little bit of a technical issue with Mama D's visual image, but we can hear her. And in a moment, we're going to add Cam Howard to the conversation. And, Mama D, we hear you clearly, so
well,
you can go right ahead.
Is Kojo there?
Yes, Kojo is on, and Cam Howard is backstage waiting.
Not Cam Howard. Kojo, this is his slot.
Right. He is in front of the
I'm
camera.
Here. Yeah, don't look at my mouth. My lips swelled up last week.
Okay.
Well, Kojo, you can't walk away.
Okay.
Otherwise, we won't hear you.
we'll get to you later, Cam. But this is the Kojo's slot. How are you, Kojo?
I'm doing great. Fine. I got a swollen lip, so don't look at my mouth. Don't look at my mouth. Just listen to it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I can't see. I'm having glitches. I can't see anybody. I'm just.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear the names that we were never given until enslavement?
You said, did I hear?
She was naming the various names such as Negro, colored, you know, names that we got, right.
Yeah, I learned in Africa. Oh. First we were called blacks. Then we was, you know, at the land of the blacks. Then we was called, what else were we called? We were called
Negro.
According to this banner that I brought back from Africa, it just says we were reclassified as African, Negro, colored, et cetera, which terms had never been used to identify ourselves because we all had tribal names. So for the purpose of this program, what we tried to get in last week is what are we going to name ourselves? It's going to be necessary for us to have a name consistent. We know we got Negro because it meant black in Spanish, and we got that from the Spaniards who were among the founding fathers of the transatlantic slave trade. So that's where that came from.
Mm.
But we were given the names that we carry today are the names of our slave owners. There was no tribe called Smith, Brown, Jones, and all of these other names that we carry today. They are names that our slave owner gave us. And so some people, they want to keep those names. Those are the names on their birth certificates. Those are their legal names. Myself, out in the old millennium, in 1999, along with Reverend Webb Evans and some others, we went to Israel. And I went into court and said, I no longer want that subjugated race name. It didn't belong to my father or his father or his father from before then. I don't want that name that belonged to my slave owner and any of the men that I married. They Hebrew sacred name for God. There is no J, never was a J in the Hebrew alphabet. You can go to the Hebrew alphabet, you'll find that that is true. So when it comes to reparations, we are the only people over here that are not immigrants in that we came from a country, whether it was Jamaica or Haiti or Europe or Scotland or wherever, London. Everybody over here came from a country by choice, except the kidnapped captives from the continent. So we have to name ourselves. After 400 years, we should be able to do that. What do you think?
Is that a question for me?
Yes, it's a question.
Yeah,
and please identify yourself. Something
yeah,
like
Curtis,
I heard you last week.
Yeah, Curtis Cordell Morris is my name. But I can give you a quick story of how we arrived at, or how my grandfather arrived at the name Monroe. You know, my grandfather was 12 years old when the Civil War started, and he was born in 1849, and he lived till 1951. I was in the Army when he passed. Now, what happened was he said he ran away from the plantation, him and two other boys, and they were looking for the Union Army. And they found him. And he was too small or too young, one or the other. So they kept him in the camp, you know, running arrows and doing whatever, you know. But in the evening, the officers will have classes to teach the newly freed slaves how, you know, how to read and write, because they want everybody had to have a name. Prior to that, you know, he was just called Boy and N-word or whatever they wanted. But he was Mr. Jones' boy. You know, I think Jones was Mr. Hayes. Mr. Hayes was on the plantation. So he said on the name-giving day, it was all lined up. And when his turn came, that was officers, you know, Confederate, Union Army officer, they would write down their name. And they gave the slaves, ex-slaves, a choice. They could choose whatever name they want. But everybody, too many, was choosing Morrow. And my grandfather, he also chose the name. He wanted to be George Washington, too, you know, because everybody else was. And the officer said, no, you can't have that name because too many people got that name already, so you got to choose another name. So my grandpa, he was standing around scratching his head trying to figure out, you know, what his sub-name was going to be, you know. So anyway, when other slaves, you know, they're trying to get him to hurry up, but everybody wanted their name. And anyway, he said, well, I'll come back tomorrow. And the officer said, you can't come back tomorrow. You got to take one now, take a name now. And somebody said, well, why don't you take Morrow? And the officer said, yes. You heard what the man said. He said Morrow. That's you know, not the slave.
That doesn't negate what I said. Most of us was given the name of the slave owner, and that is not a tribal name that was offered to the slaves, who, by the way, Emancipation Proclamation did not free the slaves, nor could it free the slaves, because the Dred Scott decision of 1857 was in full effect.
But you know what, Mama D? You know what, Mama D? A lot of African Americans had a situation like Kojo's, where there was a point where they were able to choose the name they wanted. So some of us who've been trying to trace back and figuring, okay, well, I'll just find the slave owner with this name. Like my great-grandfather, he chose maiden name, which was Charles. He actually ran away from his plantation and took a name that would disguise his identity, which happened to be the last name Charles. So a lot of people have names that are of English origin, and like you say, they're not of African origin. They're not of a language of what would have been their particular community or ethnic group, but it was the name of their choice because at some point they were given a choice, you know, what do you want your last name to be? Because, as you know, we didn't have a last name officially. So that just like with Kojo's situation, sometimes even though it's an English name or even an Irish name, it is Don't you do this to me. Well, of course, for those who are listening online, we suddenly got disconnected, but as I was saying, there are those who are of African descent who, in fact, don't have slave owner names. They have names that they chose. So what has to happen is that we will need to determine who was the ancestor that chose the name so we can actually trace back where that name came from. And sometimes it makes it even more difficult if it isn't a slave owner's name, because it might just be a name that one of our ancestors selected on their own. And that does make it a little bit challenging. There are many of us who are doing these DNA tests, and sometimes it gives you the exact location of your ancestry, the nation, the tribe, the people that you came from. Sometimes it gives you the country in Africa or the tribal heritage that you came from. So it really it gets difficult even now, because you have some Africans that are basically carrying names that they were forced to take. Some of them had to take so-called Christian names in order to be admitted to the colonial schools. So even them you might find with English names. So sometimes that becomes a challenge when you're trying to determine what is your original origin.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yes? No, I'm not debating. I don't mean to be debating you.
I'm not debating.
I think we all knew that. Yeah, but you got to, let me finish. Do I have another name? Well, in 1866, I was adopted by a Paramount chief in Ghana, and they named me Kojo Achampo, after his brother, his senior brother. And so I have another name, which is Kojo Achampo.
And so are you a citizen? Are you a citizen in Ghana when they
yes,
gave you that
name? Wait, I'm a citizen of the world. All I need is white man paper. I can go anywhere in the world that I feel, and I will be accepted. It depending on what I have to offer, you know, so I have a skill that can serve, that can enable me to be there. And my skill is, you know, I'm a carver, you know, I've been cutting all that. Now, you know, you got to have papers, you want to go somewhere. But I know, me yet, Obibinipa, not so woman, America. That means I'm an African that was born in America.
So you accept those reclassified names that was never used Making individual choices. It happened to a collective. of people, whether they were called Negroes or blacks who have no rights, whether they are emancipated or not in the Dred Scott decision. These names were given. And if we want to get reparations, we just can't say, well, I'm a citizen of the world, because we are going to have to say, hey, look, America didn't get started until 1776. So we can't get reparations from America from 1619. And we can't come up and just say, well, you're black and you came from a country and you are immigrant over here, and you came from a country, you got a land and a language, your ancestors didn't come in chains. So there is a difference in coming in chains and coming by choice from a country.
Mama, do I have a question? I have a question for, I guess, you and Kojo and then Cam Howard will be coming up shortly. One of the things that I consider when looking at the reparations question is that everybody that participated in it, it wasn't a race of people. It was individuals within a so-called race of people. And all of those individuals that participated in that enterprise, whether they were heads of countries or whether they were independent business people or whether they were hired by the independent business people who financed the operation, whether they were the individuals within the country that agreed to cooperate and even hired people to kidnap people, whether they were the shipbuilders, you know, whether they were the financiers, the bankers, all of the people who participated, and it was a lot of people participating in this enterprise, all of them are now deceased. All of those people who participated in that are now deceased. Those souls are not presently on this earth. So who do we rightfully hold responsible for that enterprise and all of the people who were involved in it, all of the people who were captured and enslaved are also now deceased? Okay? So if we say the government, we have to say which government, because some of the governments in Africa were complicit.
The United States, you ask, the ones over here.
Okay.
You can't buy people, but if they wanted to buy people, they made the law. The government of the United States of America is still over here, and they made the law that said you are immovable property. They made the laws that said they exist to keep the status down because you are a descendant of slaves. The law is still here, and it's just like the land. If somebody owns the land and they never cleared the deed or got it straightened out, then that rightful owner owns that land. So it's the same thing. The government did the law, made the rules, and it is still here, and nobody else says that when it comes to anybody else. They just give them reparations like the Native Americans. They got exempt status, cultural rights, sovereignty, land, and they got money because none of the people that stole their land is still here, but the government is still here, and that is who you hold accountable. It's not that complicated.
Okay,
we got to
come up for a break. And Cam Howard is on the line. I strongly suggest we bring him on. Don't make him wait another half hour.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-5925.
Yeah, I'm not going. My niece wanted to take some pictures.
All right. We will be back after the break. And
thank you for giving us your segment.
Absolutely.
And last week.
Yes. So we will be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
Right. Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
When a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death. Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
You believe in freedom, cannot rest. You believe in freedom, cannot rest until it comes. You believe in freedom.
All right, we are back. back. And we can see, and let's open the mic for Mama D. Make sure we can hear her as well. All right. I think you might have to unmute your mic, Mama D.
Cam, can you, Cam, are you there?
And let me unmute him.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you, and we've unmuted. I think we unmuted Cam. All right. I thought of it. All right, wait. Okay, here we go. Yes, and...
Cam, are you...
Yes, he is.
I am here.
Okay. Cecilia was supposed to be in this time slot.
Is she on the line? Or is she...
she said that if it was possible, because she did have... So it's okay for
right.
him to come up now, if he would.
All right. Well, we've got Cam on the live line here.
Greetings, everyone.
Greetings.
Uh-oh.
There we go. Okay, yes. Hear you loud and clear. Go right ahead.
Were you posing that last question to me?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I'll say it again for those who might not have heard it. You know, all of the people who are involved, who were involved in the slave trade, be it people in the government, people who were in business, the financiers, the shipbuilders, the people who were hired to capture the people, the jailers, all of those people, those individuals are all deceased. And they not only were part of the United States government, you had governments in the countries where people were captured, you had officials who were complicit and even participated and even allowed it, certain countries where the ruling parties were part of the process, and they also got paid for selling people into slavery, into captivity. So there are people on both sides, but all of those individuals who were involved are now deceased. So who can rightfully be held responsible? Especially since all of those who actually were enslaved, those who suffered the trauma of being separated from their families and unwillingly shipped abroad, they are also deceased. Now what we have is descendants of them, but the actual people that were violated, they are deceased, and the people who did the violation are deceased. So who do we hold responsible, and who deserves some type of compensation based on that reality that all the people involved are now deceased?
That's a whole lot. And I can get to it, but, you know, it's not just a simple answer. But before I get to it, I was really fascinated by Brother Kojo's story on how he got the Morrow name.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating. It was, you know, just a testament to the self-determination that we practice and still practice. That we attempted to hold on to our ability to name ourselves and define ourselves, even in this stolen land we were in. And, you know, I just give honor to our brother for sharing that story. I wish you would have had an opportunity to continue, because I wanted to put that in my memory so I could share it later as I talk about how we determine our own reality in this country.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, to start off, we have to say that America is a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And the 13 original colonies were corporations. They were corporate charters given to each colony was a charter given by one of the European states, more particularly Britain. But the other colonies were given by the Netherlands, in Florida there was a Spanish charter. But these were all corporations, all governments. Corporations that were given that later became governments. And so we know that a corporation lives forever. Mm-hmm. Corporations does not die until there's a document to say that this corporation no longer exists or goes bankrupt. And we also know that every corporation sometimes is taken over or bought by other corporations. And so what we had in 1776 was a takeover or blending, if you will. It was a war against the chartering states in Europe that gave them their corporate charter. And they warred against them collectively and created a new corporation called the United States. And so those corporations that were in existence became part of America. And when you buy a corporation or you take over a corporation, you take over its debts and you take over its assets.
Okay.
And so the debts of the 13 colonies transferred over with the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. They took over the debts as well as they took over the assets. All of the Africans who were enslaved were assets on the books on those 13 colonies and those corporations. They moved right over to the United States as their colony.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't start with, we only start in 1776. We don't even start with 1619. We start in the 1500s when our ancestors was first stolen and brought into Spanish Florida. You can even before 1619, they were brought up the Mississippi from the French. So we can go back to when these colonies were first established and target those individuals, I mean those companies, which are now nation states, and targeted those nation states who enslaved our ancestors. Now, because the 13 so-called original colonies became one corporation under the United States Constitution, we target the United States government primarily because it is a continent-wide, a coast-to-coast, you know, wide entity from which most of our people live and hold these papers of citizenship, as Brother Kojo stated. So we target the United States primarily. But there's also a claim for Spain. There's also a claim for the Netherlands. There's also a claim from Germany. There's also a claim from France because they also individually held territories as well as held our people in captivity in this country. And so that's another story, but, you know, that claim can be made. And when you talk about who all is liable, all of them are liable. Because what we're talking about also is crimes against humanity. And crimes against humanity are usually those crimes that are allowed to take place within a nation state. And so the nation is guilty of crimes of that magnitude because they allowed them to take place, or they actually aided in them taking place, like genocide. That's why Germany, you know, the German state, but it was also German corporations and other things in Germany who were held accountable, held liable and accountable for the genocide of the Jewish people during World War II. So crimes against humanity are state-sponsored crimes, or state-level crimes. So that's why governments are targeted, but also institutions, corporations, and individual families who also participated in those crimes under the sanction of the government also targeted. Now, we talk about the next question is who shall receive reparations because, you know, the perpetrators are out there and the victims of enslavement are out there, and what you have now is just the descendants. So when I talk about the perpetrators, we're looking at governments, we're looking at families, we're looking at institutions. Institutions, corporations, and the government are still in existence, even though the people who ran the corporations, ran the institutions, ran the government at that time are no longer in existence. Those institutions, governments, and corporations are still in existence. They are, in business law, fictional legal persons, with that, again, do not die unless there's some resolution to end their life or they go bankrupt and in that way, or the state itself retracts their charter. That's when they life ends. But these are perpetual entities. And so they are responsible. So we can forget about that, you know,
they're no longer alive, or the people who ran these corporations, governments, and institutions are no longer alive. The institutions are alive. And so,
okay, I'd like to ask the question, Cam. There is no statute of limitation on crimes against humanity. And also, when you're causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, like the United States of America admitted in the Brown versus Board of Education decision that it caused serious harm to young Negro black children, not anybody else, but by definition, that's genocide. So if we use the correct terminology, because what is harming us is that we're including everybody in on our stuff. Jews do not include you in on their Holocaust. When they're talking about Holocaust, they're talking about the Jewish Holocaust. Nobody else is in it. When it comes to us, it's a rising tide floats all boats, and we might have been in different ships, but we're on the same boat now. But if you're chained to the bottom, it doesn't matter what location that boat is. So what I'm saying, my question to you is, are we doing harm to ourselves by not, as Reverend Dr. Prophet King said, getting the language straight, which identifies us and our experience from other people, and that ought to be okay. Why isn't it?
So yeah, you're right, getting the language straight. And that's why I had this pushback on that 1776 issue. We have to get the language straight that these are corporations, and corporations have a perpetual life, and corporations inherit the liabilities as well as the assets of their predecessor corporations. So we have to get the language right, exactly. So when people are talking about let's start in 1776, no, that does not have the language correct. The language is incorrect if you're saying you just want to start from when America began, because America began when they purchased or fought or liberated the colonies that were in existence, that were enslaving our ancestors and was part of that historical crime. And so therefore, America began actually when those corporations, those original charter colonies began. So let me go back and just answer the question around who should receive reparations. Because again, we got to get the language right. You brought up crimes against humanity. There were three periods of crimes against humanity in this country committed by people we call white, who classify themselves as white and who have classified us as black. One was the period of enslavement. From 1553 or 1515, depending on what date you want to start in Florida, up until 1865. The period of enslavement, Africans and their descendants were enslaved. Then you had the period of Jim Crow, apartheid. Get the language right. You're absolutely right. That was apartheid. Apartheid means separate development and backed by force. And so in America, it was called Jim Crow, but it was actually apartheid. And so that was from the end of the Reconstruction, going on during the Reconstruction, but officially at the end of the Reconstruction up until 1965 and the Civil Rights Act. At that particular time, you had African descendants who were enslaved in America, and you had African descendants who had been enslaved in the Caribbean, South, and Central America who had came into America. Still had been enslaved somewhere in the Western Hemisphere. However, they experienced apartheid in America for that period of close to 100 years. And then the third period of crimes in this country is the neo-apartheid era, which began in 1965 and is still in existence today. This is where you've had, in the last 20 years, an influx of continental Africans. When I say an influx, I'm talking, you know, about a million or so, which is less than 5% of our population of blacks in this country. And so they've experienced these neo-apartheid crimes like predatory lending, like mass incarceration, like police terror, et cetera. And so when you talk about who should receive reparations, every person in this country can claim victimization of crimes against humanity. It just determines what period are they claiming victimization from. Because if you're alive today, you are experiencing white supremacy domination, which is, we know, affects us on the genetic level as well as on the psychological level. The issue of weathering and stress. That young brother who was murdered in Grand Rapids, he ran out of terror. The terror that he experienced was not one of that situation. But because he was so terrorized of thinking what might happen to him, he took off and ran, and it actually resulted in what exactly he thought he feared from Jump Street. So he was experiencing the terror of white supremacy before he was murdered. So every person of African descent or continental, either continental Africa, they come here as immigrants. It don't matter when they come here, how they come here. We don't say if someone else come here, they can be victimized by this country and not have a claim. Any person as African or of African descent who's in America experiences white supremacy domination and the terror and historical trauma that comes along with it. A continental African who just got here 5 years ago or 5 days ago, can he make a claim for slavery reparations? No, of course not, because he was not here for the period of slavery reparations. Can he make a claim for apartheid reparations? No, of course not, because he wasn't in this country during that period. But can he make a claim for psychological trauma and historical trauma and the weathering that he experienced the minute he got off the plane? He became a caste, a social outcast in this country. Now, the type of remedy that we're fighting for slavery-era crimes is a whole lot different from the type of remedy that someone can get when they just got off the plane yesterday. It's a totally different. So,
let me summarize this. The needle cam. We haven't moved the needle just because of all the different...
Mama D, he's trying to finish his sentence, and then he can hear your statement. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Anyone who comes to this country and has been victimized by white supremacy can make the demand that they deserve redress. When it comes to the remedy is specific to the era and type of crimes that were committed against them. They weren't here in enslavement. They can't take part in slavery era remedies. They weren't here during Jim Crow. They can't take part in Jim Crow era remedies. If they weren't here, if they just got here, they can take part in these post neo-apartheid era injuries. However, those remedies are going to be different. But you cannot say you for justice, and you say a crime was committed against someone, and because they don't have ancestral legacy of those crimes, that they don't deserve justice. Any crime committed against a black person on this planet deserves justice.
Do you think all the Jewish people, whether they were part of the Jewish Holocaust or not, is entitled to reparations? Everybody claims their own portion. When I'm talking to Moorish Americans, they say, well, we were never slaves. We were already here. So then they come with that argument. Then there are other people that say, well, during the 1500 period, it was indentured servant. It wasn't slavery based on race or based on being called chattel. So when we bring forth all of these different causes, and I'm not saying that if you come to this country by choice, didn't anybody force you to come from Jamaica, and you're calling yourself Jamaican because that's your country, and you came over here by choice, you are by definition an immigrant. And it's not to keep doing and say, well, if you got a black face, they don't ask you about your pedigree. And that's true. That you get the same treatment, but you don't have the same history and the same legacy and the same claim to reparations. And we've got to decide what are we going to call ourselves? Because that's when we came on, all of these names, Africa, Negro, colored, they were never used before enslavement. We had tribal names, and the United States Apology for Slavery and Jim Crow Laws says they took our names away from us and our heritage away from us. So they have
Mama
already
D,
admitted. Mama They've
D, Cam had to step away for a second, but I have a question for Kojo regarding
what I'm saying.
The,
so they have already admitted.
I wanted to let you know that Cam stepped away for a second.
Okay, thanks. Because they already admitted, proved that portion of it. And the fact of the matter is, coming from a legacy of the ones who came in chains as in their ancestors is just not the same as coming to this country by choice, seeking a better way of life. And we have got to get all of that straight. And I hear what he's coming from, saying let's go back to Europe, and because the Great Britain, they passed on their debt, but they didn't. It was a takeover. It was a war. So that is a different legal approach.
I have a question about that, Mama D, especially because I know of people from specific African countries, Nigeria being one of them, Ghana being another, where they know that there are families that got their wealth from the sale of slaves, from the sale of captured prisoners of war, in putting them into slavery, and they know that there are chiefs that made deals, in other words, government officials that made deals. So that particular entity, whether it's incorporated or passed down through family lineage, whatever the case may be, their family got wealthy from the sale of other human beings to the Europeans who were planning to ship them abroad. So my question is, I'm going to ask Kojo this because you've been in Ghana,
Kojo.
What is the attitude of those who may have known about the participation, the willing participation of some families in the slave trade? Did they see that a war victory? Did they see it as a natural result of, you know, certain families either being having lost the war or certain families just, you know, being unfortunate? Did they see it as a crime against humanity? You know, is there a regret or not? What did you observe in the attitude of those who benefited?
Kojo had a segment, and I would appreciate me making the point, getting back to our theme.
Mama D, I let you know that Cam had to step away. That's why I asked Kojo that.
Continue. If you don't mind, this is Wisdom with Mama D. I'd like to continue because this is the second time we've been trying to get some basic questions asked. And I want to...
Since Kojo is taking up his time and he's an elder, very, very respected. Can he answer that question and then we can bring Cam back?
Yes. No, I would like to answer the question.
We had many discussions on that
issue. Mama D, please let him answer because he's got wisdom. And I mean, he's a little older than all of us. We're not going to get this wisdom forever. Please let him answer this because he has some knowledge that we don't have. So please let him answer that, and then we can bring back Cam, and, you know, please continue your point.
I was in the midst of a question, and I would like for him to answer my question, please.
Let's take this break and then come back, and then we can do the last segment. We'll be right back. And Mama D, I really, you know, you have some wonderful guests. I really want, especially people who, like Kojo, I mean, he's been on this earth a long time, and that's living history, and we want to make sure we get the insight from those who have been here and have traveled and can tell us some things we don't know. Anyway, we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First, Success Strategy with Jana. Second Saturday, Kim Esquire on Relationships. Third, Crown with Deborah. Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 10 p.m. 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose. Call in 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection and www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. See you soon.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
You believe in freedom, cannot rest until it comes. We believe in freedom, cannot rest. Hear me talking to you. We do believe in freedom, cannot rest until it comes.
Are back, and in addition, Mama D, you also have two other callers on the line as well, and Cam is back, so we're going to make sure we coordinate our time and get everybody in.
Sure, can I
go right ahead.
Elaborate?
Yeah, and then Mama D has a question, and then we got Cam back. Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, sure. We talked about it quite often. Quite often, because, you know, I lived up there in the bush, up in the Ashanti region, and they were some of the biggest slave sellers, and also the Ebes, too. And Dahomey was where they had a king that was his main goal. That was to sell it. He sold more people than the law of average. That logic behind it is, when tribe go to war against another tribe, and the victor claims all the spoil, like all the peoples that they just conquered. It's his slave. Now, that's the word they use, slave, but they don't mean the same kind of slavery that was practiced here.
You became part
of over there, if one tribe go to, you know, attacked by another tribe, that means you're their property, in other words. But after 2 or 3 years, you can actually become something like a citizen. You could actually marry. And you could even become a chief, like a sub-chief or something. And there was never anyone that was able to return from America and South America to enlighten the people there of just how they were treated as slavery. So they didn't know. It was just like an exchange. It was like, hey, that was the commerce of the day there. You know, like you sell cattle or something, you see. Maybe you don't like someone. They may have a better farm than you. And you can actually trade them. And, you know, you can hijack them, ambush them, and sell them to another tribe. You can sell it to the white people because, you know, the white folks wasn't gone all up there in the bush looking for us. So it was most of the coastal people that was actually doing the selling of the people. You know, it's pretty. So, in fact, we call it like old money, like the Rockefeller money, you know, money that wasn't on, like from the present generation. Sure, we have a lot of millionaires here that earned that million. I'm talking about whites, right? Mm-hmm. But also we have the same thing applied to Africans, people who inherited money. Mm-hmm. And so that's there. And so when someone comes along and asks them to give it back or to even share it, we fought for the last 300-400 years just to get an equal share of what, you know, what we earn, like civil rights and so forth. We fought all the Civil War, and I guess that's about the Civil War, and especially black, you know, soldiers, you know, ex-soldiers and so forth. So it's something like if I come to you and I say, hey, I just discovered that your great-great-great-grandfather enslaved my great-great-great-grandfather, had him working for 2 years and he never paid him. So you owe me. You should pay me. You should pay your father's or grandparents' debt. Okay, so now it's in the courts. I can understand why the Japanese got theirs, because they claimed it right away. You know, they claimed it, and it wasn't, I don't know, it couldn't have been over a period of 30 or 40 years, right? But then there was a lot of people that came here, like the Chinese, and they was misused. You know, they caught hell out there building a railroad out there, but they're not talking about it. It's good for us to talk about it and discuss it. It's good to be aware of our history, because being aware of your history, you get a sense of entitlement. Like white folks, they're born with that sense of entitlement. If they're not, they're taught it from the moment they come out of their mother's womb. You know, when they learn to talk, this at the age of 12 for sure. Don't play with them people. You know, like you can ask a Caucasian, why you don't like black people? Whatever they did, they cannot give you an answer. They can't give you. The best answer they can give you is, well, that's what my parents taught me, and that's what they do. Because I remember, I'm 89 years old now, but I remember when, oh, that boy, that girl is too black. I'd be shooting at a little girl, you know, we both 10, 9, 10 years old, you know, I like her, and her mother would say, well, no, he's too black, leave that, you know. And so that's what goes, and even now we're doing it, it's being practiced now. A fair, complex Action Afro-American, it's kind of difficult for them to even claim that they are African-American. You know, because it's, you know, Whitey did a number on us.
So that's another thing, then.
It got this country to where it is now. Now the country is boasting like they're the greatest country, the most powerful, but it wasn't given. People came here and took this country from somewhere and killed most of them off until a few good people, they develop a conscience later on. So it's like, first thing, we have to have a plan of those who are seeking reparations. Let me say this and I'll just cool down for a minute. You know, I remember my grandfather and uncles, you know, we didn't have television sets, so maybe somebody might have a radio. So our biggest entertainment was when the old folks started telling us stories, you know, about how life was. Grandpa was good at that, you know. He said, look, don't mention no 40 acres and a mule to me, because he was living during that time, right, when that proposal was made to give the free slaves, you know, 40 acres and a mule. He said, I don't want no damn, man, that's why I ran away from the plantation, to get away from them. And that's why he sent his sons, all seven of them, up north, here in Chicago and Detroit, because they didn't want to be no farmer. They said he got tired of smelling mules farting 18 hours a day. So, then, you know, I'm using that word. You know, I got a swollen lip, so it's not coming out too well. But, you know, people, and that's why I don't want to be out doing them kind of job that people are doing. So I had to educate myself, you know, in order to be able to do something that I feel proud of doing. So as for the other point on the reparation, most African countries, for any born Afro-American or African in the diaspora, can actually go to any country in Africa. You never hear one being deported because they don't have a visa. They don't do that. They say, you just keep it. The 11 years that I lived in Ghana, from 1965 to 1976, I only had a 3-week visa when I went there, right? They couldn't give me a visa because they said, well, look, man, you don't fit into no category. So you can stay as long as you want to, as long as you can take care of yourself, but you got to be able to employ someone else, you know, like one or two people. So that's how and why I learned to trade, carving. I could carve there, but as long as I wasn't carving the same features, that the size ornaments and, you know, sculpture pieces that the Ghanaians and Africans, I'm safe. So what I do, I could do many to carve, you know, from carving. So that applies to any African-American or any black person in this hemisphere, as long as they... Even if you're a porter, a custodian labor, because they need people to come and train people how to maintain a place. It's a big problem because we hear about buildings deteriorating because, you know, people, you got a group of people who are farmer and hunter, you know, so they don't know how to clean a house, you know, so you got to teach them how, you got to teach everything. So, It's a lot, you know, when you really dig into it deeply.
It's not as simple as we think. White folks glad, black folks good. It's not that simple. So, Mama D, Cam is back, and you've got a couple of callers on the line. Did you want to take your callers? Did you want to ask a question of Cam or?
Well, I think we should take the callers.
Okay, well, let's go to Eric on taking 196. Eric, code 919-606, please state your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment for our host and guest.
Hi. Alan?
Yeah.
Yes. 919, yeah. I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Alan. Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, Alan from Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you're speaking about reparation. If a judge don't hand me my check in my hand, all that is non-binding because they don't even want judge. Look how they booed the Supreme Court justice, the highest court of the land. If they give it to you, they feel sorry for you. That's what I'm saying. They give it to you because, my great-grandfather did this black man wrong. So I'm going to be different. I evolved with the changes, so I'm going to feel sorry for them. When they hand me my reparation check, I hope it is a good, impartial judge that hand it to me.
Alan?
Go ahead. Can you hear me?
You know, when it comes to reparations, it's not just limited to money. It's exempt status, it's cultural rights, it's sovereignty, it's land, and it's money. Just like that, it's given to a people to make them whole. And were you aware of the ordinance that Alderman Dorothy Tillman put in to disclose companies that had slave holdings, such as Chase Bank? And my concern is that if I have never seen a white man before and I painted my face in ritual dances and then I took my white face off, but if I've never seen a white man before, I really didn't speak his language. And when he had a cannon and I'm used to fighting with my spear, I've got my spear and you've got your spear, and we're in our tribal war. But when somebody comes in with a cannon that can blow away a whole village, it's a different ball game. Just like with the natives, I got bows and arrows, you got bows and arrows. But when it comes in with a Gatling gun, it's a whole different ball game. So we need to make sure we're not saying some official game over from Chase Bank, and whether I spoke your language or not, whether I ever saw you a white face or not, we sat down and negotiated this money transaction, and I sold my own people. Whoever you could get that rope around became your captive. Chief and chief's children and everybody went. And I would like for Cam to address that.
Right. And then after Cam, you got another caller, area code 314. We'll come to you after Cam addresses that.
Right.
And you repeated Mama D's question. I got too much feedback for me to understand her question.
She was saying that the way it happened with the warfare, when Europeans came in, basically with superior weapons, they had, you know, they're coming against people who were fighting with spears and arrows, and they're coming in with cannons. So when they got ready to round up people, that include everybody, man, woman, child, chief, you know, the regular people, everybody. So they basically, she was saying, the domination of the Europeans militarily is what changed that whole system of what Kojo was talking about. You know, you'd have the inner tribal kind of capturing people, and then, you know, there might be a couple of years of enslavement, but then you could get your citizenship. It was just a different thing. So she wanted you to speak to that, you know, the whole annihilation that came with superior weaponry.
Yeah, I can't add anything to that. You know, that's a fact. I mean, we had, you know, superior military skills, but they had superior military weapons. And, you know, to attest for that is, you know, when the so-called Seminole Wars, those were really African wars, you know, wars against, that's what the last general stated. You know, they fought down in Florida for over almost 100 years, and they were not able to defeat them. And the last general, General Jessup, says, who has some modicum success with them, he said, the reason we haven't had any success, because we've been fighting this was an Indian war. This was an African war. So we have shown that we had superior military skills, but just didn't have the weaponry and the desire to kill that is superior among Europeans. You know, that both of those together, the weaponry and this desire to kill, to just, you know, annihilate human beings, is that's something that they're second to none with. And most people, you know, on the African continent, even when they were going through some of those wars, they got to a point where they just gave up because it was too bloody, and they just shut it down. You know, we're not going to just keep killing each other. We'll just shut this down and see how we can go back to negotiation. But that's not the European way. And so, you know, that's that spirit of death and the superior weaponry is what did us in, and it's what's doing us in today, because they still have the superior. There's not one armaments manufacturer on the African continent. There's only one military school on the African continent, and that's in Nigeria. And so it's still, they've taken away our military skill, as well as, you know, we don't have the military armament, and certainly we don't have the desire to kill that they do. So until we learn, you know, these three things and come up with a plan of action to address them and address them in a victorious manner, you know, the domination would exist. But that doesn't stop us from fighting for redress and resources to do some repair of our people while we come up with these plans for liberation.
Like I said before, you know, that's why this country is the greatest and most powerful country in the world, because of guns.
Yeah,
the same thing in Africa, you know. The Ashanti, they used to talk, they love to talk, especially those elders. You know, they talk about days when they was fighting the white, okay? I mean, they were physically fighting. They said they had to trick them. You know, they would dig pits.
And
fill them with snakes and spikes and things.
And then they'd send one guy, or maybe
two or three people out to, you know, to make faces and agitate the British soldier. The British soldier get mad and they go charging and they're in the pits. They had the intudu, they had mosquitoes. You know, the mosquitoes took away a whole lot of people there.
Well, yeah, there was definitely a lot of strategies that were used. We got another caller. We got two more callers. Let me see if I can squeeze in, because you've raised some points about that. Area code 314-381.
It's Pianchi. Mosquitoes killed blacks too when they went back to Africa in the late 1700s, in the early 1800s. Well, that was just the thing. And they were manufacturing weapons. They was hammering iron into machetes and spear tips. So people don't go to war and want to fight heads up. They use things to their advantage. And there was all sorts of slavery. Ghana had at least five different forms of slavery, which includes sacrifice and also chattel slavery. I mean, that's just the way it was. They were human beings. They were dealing in slavery for 1,000 years before they ever met anybody with white face. It was human beings. And this whole issue about reparations, who should receive it, well, that's going to be, why you seek reparation from the federal government? Federal government has no policing power over the states. If you're going to seek reparations, you better go after those states and try to convince them that they've done something illegal.
Japan and the other people went after the state.
Japanese got reparations because they were American citizens, and they were not afforded due process as stipulated in the 14th Amendment. And your 40 acres in immune. Well, you wasn't citizens.
Exactly.
And the 40 acres in the mule, the 40 acres in the mule, that was Indian land. It was Creek land.
See, here we go. When you lose, you snooze, you lose. Superior weapons, you take over.
Mama D, I listen to everybody who say things that go along with your narrative. You never cut them off. But as soon as somebody come on with a different opinion, a different view, you cut them off. Can I have my due process, please?
We got about minutes before we have to wrap up.
And you had an opportunity to be a guest and have your full half hour. What I'm saying is everybody goes to the government to get reparations because they are the ones that make the rules and have the military and the laws and the banking systems and all the systems on their side. So you don't go to get states' rights when it was the government that made these enslavement laws that the states had to follow. And that's not my opinion. That's a historic fact.
Mama D, you got one more caller. You want to squeeze in? They got about 30 seconds. Area code 111111. You got to talk fast. You got about 30 seconds before we got to wrap up. Go right ahead.
Okay, no problem. I just wanted to get straight to the meat. You know, I'm so glad and to thank Cam for leading the Incobra up to this point where we have a chance to actually put it before Congress and the Senate for once after some 30 years. But I did want to know, Kay, when Incobra started some over three decades ago, we were there at the beginning when they first had the first meeting for the Chicago chapter to even be found. And it's interesting, Mama D was there. We actually went to Congress all those decades ago when John Conyers first started that journey. And we were in Congress lobbying. And at the time, people had their minds on the money. But nonetheless, just to add to history, back even back then, Mama D said, hey, it's not just the money. It's sovereignty, culture rights, and it's culture rights, sovereignty, and land. You get additional. It's not just money, as people don't understand. But I just wanted to notate that, because you spoke about history. Over 30 years ago, when you're standing with the people with the minds to try to get something done, it takes over 30 years later before it can even get up to the front page. Can you imagine that? I was probably
well,
a young
you.
Man in my
thank
20s.
Thank you very much
now I'm
for
in my 60s.
Tuning in, everybody that contributed. We thank you very much. And in conclusion, I just want to say one thing. When it comes to Israel and the Jewish Holocaust, they got land. They got a whole country, and that country belonged to somebody before they took it over. But they were entitled to their own space. Reparations is not limited to a check. It is to make a people whole. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. That is what the acronym for WISDOM with Mama D is. And I thank you all very much for listening and suffering through the glitches and what have you. And Coco, I got to get
it done. Hello, Mama D. Thanks so much. Thanks to all the guests and listeners and contributors. Join us tomorrow for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And until that time, continue to shine your light.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy. Grazie. Egypt. Shukran. Ghana. Medasi. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa. Ngiyabonga. Senegal. Geret. Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakor. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.